We're already at the third and last Mass of our summer camp. Today is your final day. I hope it is a wonderful camp for you and that you will learn some important things, girls, as well as keep some happy memories. All throughout these Masses, we've been saying a prayer each day in honor of our special patroness this year, St. Maria Goretti. But I want to tell you this last day about a saint who, in a way, was the opposite of St. Maria Goretti. This is a saint who was a teacher. And St. Maria Goretti never went to school. She never learned how to read or write. She just learned enough to be able to make her first communion. You know that she died when she was very young. And this saint lived all the way to be 90 years old. But they had this in common. They both loved our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament so very much. And they both, in their own way, a very different way, because each life is different, each vocation, girls, from God, for each one of us is, in a sense, quite different. But they both led a very exciting life. Today's saint, well, her feast day is actually next Wednesday, but you won't be here, so I won't be able to tell you about her next Wednesday. Besides next Wednesday, the 16th, that's the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And we usually talk about the Blessed Mother and the brown scapular that we all wear, don't we? As a sign of our consecration to Mary's Immaculate Heart. St. Mary Magdalene Postel is her name. And she lived during the turbulent times of the French Revolution. When she was only 18, when she was a teenager, she started her own school. And she taught her first students so well that they never forgot it. The whole of their lives they would talk about that wonderful teacher who taught them in her little school. And then when the time came of the French Revolution, our saint was a kind of a secret agent for the Catholic Church and the priest and the Blessed Sacrament. And then later on she went on to found her own order of sisters who were teaching sisters and also for the poor. And she lived long enough to see quite a bit of it change. The rule that she had written was replaced by another. And she was so holy that she never complained. She never said a word about it. She offered that up as a sacrifice. Now, if you would happen to look at the calendar, I don't suppose you did, because you're busy with other things today, but if you looked at the calendar today, children, you would see, or in your missal, 11th of July, St. Pius I. There are lots of Piuses who are popes, 12 altogether, and you remember, well, right above me, that's St. Pius V. He's the Pope of the Rosary and the Pope of the Mass, as we call him. He fixed and made standard the Holy Mass that we still offer today. And then there's the Pope who said, you don't have to wait till you're 11 or 12, as Maria Goretti did, to make your first communion. You can make it as soon as you have the use of reason. All you have to do is just know the basics of our faith. You don't have to pass any big tests or anything like that. And you just have to know just the very basics of our catechism and your prayers, and of course to recognize and love our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. That's the 10th. Well, today's the first one of that. And he lived at the same time as yesterday's saints. Remember St. Felicity and her 7 sons. Well, he took the name of Pius. What does it mean to be pious? Girls, do you know? Do you remember that from your catechism lessons? Piety is a virtue from God. It's one of the 4 cardinal or very important virtues. And piety is a gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember that piety, it is that makes you very loving, devout, and respectful to God, holy things, which are the things of God, also to your parents and your family, and even to your country. Anyone to whom you owe your existence, without such and such a person, I wouldn't be around, inspires you with great gratitude and holiness and reverence. And that's part of what we call the virtue of piety. Remember how the Holy Ghost virtues, gifts work? When the Holy Ghost gives you his gifts, especially at confirmation, he makes it easier for you to do these things. To try to practice virtue is, remember, it's like rowing yourself. Ever go rowing? Rowing yourself in a boat. That's hard work and your arms get tired in a hurry. But if you are in a sailboat and the wind is just right, You don't have to do a thing. You can sit back and relax in the breeze, and the wind carries you along. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are seven, and so with his gift of piety, it enables you to be pious, as we understand it, in all of these ways. Now, our saint was pious, especially towards the Blessed Sacrament. Even though it was very early on, nevertheless, he didn't like to see anyone, any priests or deacons, being disrespectful or careless in giving out Holy Communion. And he said that if any priest were to drop the chalice through carelessness, he would have to do penance for a whole Lent, 40 days. But if it was just an accident, he'd still have to do penance, he said, for 3 days. That's how respectful he wanted all of the clergy to be to the Most Blessed Sacrament. And you know, we still have those rules today, in a sense, girls, because, for example, there are 3 linens on the altar. Some of your mothers, or maybe some of you one day, will help to iron the altar linens, which is a great privilege. We have 3 in case any of the precious blood is spilt accidentally, then it would be caught by the altar linens. And the altar boys, the servers, when you receive communion, hold the golden plate called the paten under your chin to catch any little particles or fragments of the sacred host. Why? Because that's our Lord himself. Those are all examples of piety. And even if you were to help in the sacristy, you couldn't touch the chalice, it's so holy, unless the Father gave you a special permission because of the work that you're doing. Same thing with the servers. They would need a permission to be able to touch the chalice. But today's saint, Mary Magdalene Postol, well, remember, she's actually from the 16th of July, she received permission during the persecution to carry the Blessed Sacrament and even to give out Holy Communion to the dying. I'll explain that to you in a moment. But the first special permission she got was, as some saints did, to make an early First Communion. She was 8 years old, but she was so devout and she had learned her lessons so well that she was allowed to receive early. Her teachers were nuns. They were Benedictine sisters. And back then, when you went to school, you didn't have to go to school for a long, long, long time, usually. If you just finished what we would today call high school, you would be so educated, you'd be ready, as she was, perhaps, to start your own school. Which goes to show, too, that we should never complain about our studies or reading or homework or tests, and we should try to really apply ourselves as well as we can to try to develop the talents that our Lord has given us, because maybe very soon you'll need those same talents to share learning with others. Well, when she was 18 and finished with the sisters and started her school, she consecrated herself to Christ. As Saints Rufina and Secunda did, she made what's called a private vow of virginity, to be the spouse of our Lord. She wasn't a sister yet or anything, but just that. For 5 years, she had operated her school, and then the revolution came. And then it was against the law to believe in God or to be a Catholic under the Pope. And they chopped off the head of the king, and everybody was being murdered and killed, and it was a very terrible time. It was called the Time of Terror. She was very brave. She organized the Catholics and said, don't go to the bad mass, because they had a bad mass. It was still a Latin mass, but it was a mass that was part of the revolution. And she got others not to go to that church anymore because it was revolutionary. And she built herself, this is remarkable, she's in her early 20s, she built a secret chapel under the stairs in her house. And she disguised it so well that no one knew it was there. And then Father would come and say Mass there and give out Holy Communion. In the meantime, she was studying law, too, so she could defend the Catholics if they were brought up on trial. Well, as this was, oh, girls, we don't want to, no, don't open your prayer books. Shut your prayer book, that's right. Fold your hands and listen to the bishop. That's right. We don't want to be looking at our prayer books. That would give the impression that you are bored with what I'm saying. I know you're not bored, and you're really enjoying the little sermon, but you don't even want to give the impression, so we want to all be very quiet during the sermon. That's the spirit. What were we talking about? Well, she studied law to help Catholics who were put on trial during the revolution, and then things got very bad. and a lot of people were being killed, and it seemed like no one was escaping. And they decided it was not safe to keep the Blessed Sacrament in the secret hidden chapel. And so the bishop gave a very special permission to this holy young lady to carry the Blessed Sacrament in a locket, it's called a pyx, around her neck. And if someone were dying and the priest couldn't come, she actually had permission to give that person communion before he died. What's that called? Holy Viaticum. That's your last communion. Viaticum. That's Latin for with thee on the way. At that time, the Pope himself had been kidnapped by the wicked French revolutionaries, and he too, but of course he was the Pope, he carried the Blessed Sacrament in the pyx hidden around his neck. Well, in a few years' time, the worst was over, the persecution was done, and life more or less went back to normal. And then our saint, what did she do? She rolled up her sleeves and she got busy. There was so much work to do. People hadn't learned catechism, and they hadn't made their first communion. They were already growing up. And so she taught adults as well as children how to learn to get ready for the sacraments. She helped out the sick all the time and the poor. And she opened up her school again for regular classes during the day and did works of mercy. And she also prayed. Saints are very busy people. But that's the best way to be a saint, to serve God, to stay busy, girls. Because when you don't have anything to do, you end up doing things you have no business doing. Well, she was already fairly old. She was 51. And then she thought that our Lord wanted her to start her own congregation. It's called her group of sisters. And they would be called the Sisters of Christian Education of Mercy. And pretty soon, she had 200 girls. Imagine if we had 200 girls for the camp. What would our counselors and the sisters and the ladies do? I don't know. But she managed very well with 200 girls, and many of them were poor ragamuffins. They had no house. They had lost their family during the revolution. They had to live on the streets. And she brought them all in, cleaned them up, fed them, taught them their catechism, their prayers to read and write, and also taught them crafts and how to work, especially needlepoint. Because back then, if you knew how to sew very well, you could earn a pretty good living. Well, they were very, very poor. They followed the rule of St. Francis. And sometimes they just ran out of money, or they couldn't stay in a certain place anymore. They had to go to another place. Well, she and her sisters ended up living in a barn for a few years. And then they had to take jobs as farm workers and any kind of work that they could possibly find to support themselves and their poor students. But they did, and all the time she was always cheery about it, and she always smiled. She never, ever gave up on our Lord, and our Lord, she knew, would never give up on her. The last great trial that she had in her life was when it was decided that the rule that she had written to train her sisters wasn't good enough, and there should be a different one. And that was written by a Saint Jean-Baptiste de La Salle. And so, without complaining, she accepted the decision of Rome to change the name of her sisters and to change their rule. But she always continued with very great piety her whole life long. Well, that's a little bit about a saint who's coming up, and I thought you'd like to hear about her because her life was so exciting, so different, and so interesting. It goes to show what you girls and young ladies could do one day, but it all starts with two things. It starts with learning. Learning from your parents at home. Learning from the priests at church. Learning in school. Learning your catechism and your prayers and your faith, but learning the regular subjects as well, reading and writing and arithmetic and geography and everything else. It starts with school and it starts with study. But the thing of it is, it never ends there. All of us girls are meant to be enrolled in the school of our Lord's service. That's what St. Benedict said about religious life, and that's what it is to be a Christian. Our Saint Mary Magdalene Postol, that was her name, received a special privilege for a few years to carry the Blessed Sacrament in a locket around her neck. Saint Pius X, when he beatified her, called her the Virgin Priest of the Holy Eucharist. Isn't that a beautiful title? And when it was over and it was no longer necessary for her to do that, she still carried Jesus about with her, as you will today, I hope. After your Holy Communion today, girls, you'll have our Lord in your heart. Now carry him with you. Life is exciting. It's interesting. There's always some wonderful things you could be doing. But remember the rules of St. Maria Goretti: purity as well as piety, and forget about yourself. Her whole life, the whole life of every saint, is she didn't think about herself at all. She was only thinking of helping others. What an interesting, though, exciting and rewarding life she had. And then to think, as soon as it was over, she went straight to heaven. St. Mary Magdalene Postol, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.